Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Today we tell a story about a young woman who goes out on the most exciting date in her life and returns home to find...
I'm glad you've come. Perhaps you can get this young man to talk.
Well, I'll do what I can, Mr. Collins.
All I want to know is one single thing, Mrs. Greenwood.
One single thing? I am it. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh. I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say and the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now for our weekly visit to the little town of Lakeview and to Aunt Charlotte and her problems of bringing up the three Barton children, Barbara, Jack, and Robert. The family is just finishing breakfast, as Barbara says.
Oh, dear. This is another day I wish I could stay home and relax instead of going to work.
Well, as long as you're wishing, why don't you wish yourself on a tropical island with nothing to do?
That's for me.
Why, Barbara, is that something to wish for?
Why, Aunt Charlotte, don't you ever look forward to strolling down a tropical aisle with guitars playing?
I look forward to marching down that middle aisle with the organ playing.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte.
We'll go see if the mailman's come.
Well, not for me, Robert.
Huh? Oh, well, I'm sort of expecting something.
Yeah, so I gather this is the third time you've been out for the mail this morning.
It is, huh?
Mm-hmm. All right, run along, see if it's come.
Okay, I will.
Another cup of cocoa, Jack?
No, thanks.
I think I'll have one, Aunt Charlotte.
You won't have time, Barbara, if you want me to drive it to the library.
Well, what's the hurry?
I've got to pick up Janet Gregory's brother and drive him down to the office.
Well, what's the matter with his car?
Oh, it's up for repairs.
What, again?
Yeah. Seems he had a little smash-up yesterday.
Oh, what's the matter with Alan Gregory? Can't he drive?
Evidently not. When the road turns and he turns at the same time, it's just a coincidence. Alan Gregory has car trouble quite frequently, it seems.
Well, it's sort of bad this time, and he's afraid to tell his father about it.
Afraid to tell his father?
Well, Mr. Gregory's kind of a funny duck. He's all right when you know him, though. What do you say, Barbara? Can't you hurry a little?
My goodness, just because you have to pick up Janet's brother. Anything connected with Janet Gregory certainly puts you in a dither.
All right, all right.
Jack Barton, what you need is a good talking to. Aunt Charlotte, don't you think somebody ought to give it to him straight up and down?
Well, they sure gave it to me straight up and down.
What? I didn't mean it that way.
Yes, I know, but I did. Well, now, you better run along, children.
You two going already?
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye, Aunt Charlotte.
Bye. Did the postman bring the letter you were waiting for, Robert?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Now run out and play while I clear away the breakfast dishes.
Aunt Charlotte, let me help you, will you?
With the dishes?
Yes, ma'am.
Why, Robert, darling, this is so sudden.
Oh, I say that.
Well, at my age, what for? Robert Barton, when you turn down play for work and emphasize it with courtesy, I sense an ulterior motive. Now, what's on your mind?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing special.
Oh?
Nothing special except...
You travel slowly, but you get there. Nothing special except what?
Except I was thinking maybe you'd like to meet Johnny Barker's mother.
Well, why did you take so long to say that? I'd be very glad to meet Mrs. Barker sometime.
She's crazy to meet you, Aunt Charlotte. And Bill Ryan's mother and Randy's mother, too. All of them. They think you're wonderful. They say it takes plenty to come up to you.
Just a pair of stilts. But, Robert, do you know why they want to meet me?
Because you're invited.
Why, by Mrs. Barker?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice of her. I'll call on her next week.
Oh, but it's tonight.
What's tonight?
The meeting.
What meeting? Robert, what are you trying to say?
They're having a meeting and they all want you to come. Here, this is the letter I've been waiting for. It's for you.
Well, why didn't you say that? Open it for me.
No, you open it.
Very well.
Read it to me, Aunt Charlotte, huh?
Uh-huh. Just as you say. It says, Dear Miss Greenwood, I am writing in behalf of the Mother's Club of Lakeview.
Yeah, that's it, Mother's Club.
Uh-huh. Well, our purpose is to know our neighbors as well as their children. We are holding a meeting this Friday evening and would be very pleased if you and Robert would join us. Cordially yours, Mrs. John Barker.
Gee, Aunt Charlotte.
Well, that's charming of the lady.
And nice, too.
I'll have to call Mrs. Barker right away.
Sure.
Robert, I'll tell her that you will be there.
But Aunt Charlotte, aren't you going?
Robert, I've been in some strange places, but a mother's club. But you go along and have yourself a good time.
No, I don't want to go. It really isn't anything anyway.
Oh. Robert Barton, there's no fool like an old fool.
Huh?
Here I've just had the grandest invitation to go out with the grandest young man I know, and I completely muffed it.
You mean you'll really go?
I mean, if you'll give me another chance, I'd like very much to go with you tonight.
Gee whiz! Oh, gosh! Oh, golly!
Gee willikers, Jiminy Cricket, some great golly wobbles!
Would you believe it? You know, I've had the busiest day in years planning for tonight.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, you look beautiful. Positively radiant.
Oh, do I? I do?
Yes, those braids. They're stunning.
Oh, the braids. Yes, I see what you mean. Well, I must hurry and get out my clothes.
Oh, I've already laid them out for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, how did you know I wanted to wear my new dress?
Well, it's so exciting, Aunt Charlotte. What better place is there to wear an exciting new dress than the Lakeview Mother's Club?
The Lakeview Bachelor's Club.
But you will wear it, won't you?
Certainly. A new dress is like an idea. It's no good unless you use it.
Aunt Charlotte, can't you do something about Jack? I've been trying to use the telephone all evening, but Jack's been monopolizing it.
He has?
I think he's trying to reach Alan Gregory. It's awfully mysterious the way he whispers.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Charlotte.
Come in, Robert.
Well, I think I'll go see if I can get at the phone now.
All right, dear. Why, Robert, you're still in your robe.
So are you, Aunt Charlotte.
Oh, but I only take a minute to dress. You dawdle so.
Oh, I won't. Honest, I won't. Aunt Charlotte, you like my blue suit?
Yes, I do.
Better than the brown?
They're both lovely.
Which do you like better?
The blue, I think.
Then I'll wear it.
You don't have to, just to please me.
But I want to.
Robert Barton, you're definitely a gentleman. You know why?
Because I'm a man.
No. No, when a man takes out his girl, he expects to have a nice evening. But when a gentleman takes out his girl, he hopes she will.
Gee, thanks, Aunt Charlotte.
You're mighty welcome, young man. Now run along and get dressed.
I will. Only, but...
Now, are we going to get on that merry-go-round again now? But what?
What are you going to wear, Aunt Charlotte?
Put this on the bed.
Oh, green, huh?
Oh, don't you like it, Robert?
Oh, sure, it's awful pretty, but...
But what?
You look prettiest in your black.
Black? Anyone in particular?
Yeah, the one with the white on it.
Well, step right over to this closet, young man, and pick it out.
That's the one.
Oh, with the lace around the neck, huh?
Yeah, that one.
I'm glad you thought of that one. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite, too.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, that's swell.
Now we're getting places. Now, what about the hat, Robert?
Oh, you can pick it.
Oh, well, now let me see. Oh, here. Now, how do you like this one?
Is that a hat?
Well, Hedda Hopper said so.
It's okay.
Suppose you tell me your choice.
Gosh, I like this one.
Oh. The one with the veil on it.
Gosh, that's smooth.
Smooth it is, Robert Barton. Now, hurry up. Now and I will really get dressed.
Gee, Aunt Charlotte, you look pretty tonight. I bet you'll be the prettiest one there.
The prettiest? I will?
Sure.
Robert, does that invitation say Mother's Club or Grandmother's Club?
Gee, Aunt Charlotte. I say you're awful pretty.
Oh, I say you're an awful flatterer. Now, go on now and call Barbara.
Okay. Hey, Barbara.
Yes, Aunt Barbara, Aunt Charlotte wants you.
Dear, my shoes. I hope he likes these.
Do you want me, Aunt Charlotte?
Yes, dear. Will you get in my backpack another purse and my white gloves for me, please?
But your beautiful braids. You're taking them down.
I can't wear them with that hat.
And your dress. You're not wearing your green dress.
No, I've changed to my black one.
Oh, but Aunt Charlotte, that green dress is the most effective thing your dressmaker ever made. Why, she cut your figure in half.
Won't it be wonderful when she does away with the other half?
Oh, please wear the green one.
Robert does not like it.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, what does he know?
Plenty, and so do I. When a man asks you to dress the way he'd like you to, that means he loves you. And when a man like Robert Barton loves me and I go out with him, I go all out.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, watch out for those things on your dress.
Oh, there goes my cologne bottle.
Why, Aunt Charlotte, you're actually nervous. You're all of a tizzy. That only happens to a young girl on her first date.
Yeah, well, you've never seen an old gal on her last date, have you?
You're in a dither.
No, I'm not, Barbara. I'm just eager. I'm just eager to please. And I want my young man to be pleased, too. This is the most important date of my life.
Miss Greenwood, how do you like our mother's club?
Well,
I've been trying to get a moment all evening to speak to you. Let's go over to this corner where it's quiet.
Yes, well, I know you've been very busy, Mrs. Barker.
Oh, I love that hat you're wearing. Mm-hmm. That veil makes it perfect.
Yes, thank you.
I always go for a veil. You know, it does wonders for me.
Yes, a long white one would do wonders for me.
Oh, I bet you've had plenty of offers.
Yes and no. They've never said yes. I've never said no.
Miss Greenwood, I do hope you will join our group of mothers.
Well, anytime you want me at a meeting, just let me know.
I'm afraid we're planning to make more demands on you than that.
Yeah. Well, I'll be happy to do anything I can.
Well, we've talked it over, Miss Greenwood, and we want to put you up for presidency of our club.
Miss Greenwood, as president of the Mothers Club? I'd sure be Greenwood. Really, Mrs. Barker, I'm deeply honored, but it's out of the question.
Oh, now, please don't be hasty, Miss Greenwood. Think it over and let us know in the morning.
Well, but you can't have a spinster be the head of a mother's club.
Miss Greenwood, we consider you thoroughly equipped for it.
Thoroughly? When you put it that way, it sounds positively improper.
Well, for some time now, we've been thinking that we'd like...
Charlotte, it's your telephone call for you. It's Barbara.
Barbara? Oh, excuse me a moment, Mrs. Barker.
Of course.
I'll show you where the telephone is, Aunt Charlotte.
Well, I wonder why Barbara would be calling me here.
Here's the phone.
Thanks, Robert. Hello, Barbara?
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, something dreadful's happened. Jack's in an awful mess.
About Jack? What is it, dear?
Well, I don't think I ought to tell you over the phone. Please hurry. Oh, please hurry. It's terribly important.
All right, well, get hold of yourself, Barbara. I'll be right home.
When you talk of old times and of friends who are part of the old crowd, often someone will say, whatever became of Jim or Mary, and you wish you knew. You wish you hadn't lost touch. This is one of the tricks time plays on us, but one you can outwit so easily just by sending a card now and then. Stop in at your Hallmark dealers tomorrow and see how many ways you can show your old friends that you still care. You can send a card that merely says that they're in your thoughts. They're not forgotten. You can remember a friend on his birthday with a card that brings an affectionate greeting or a clever, humorous birthday wish. Perhaps you'll want an original anniversary card. And if someone you know is going to be married, let a beautiful Hallmark wedding card carry your best wishes in faultless taste. No matter what the occasion may be, you'll find an appropriate Hallmark card. A card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. welcome back to the Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. Aunt Charlotte was asked to be president of the Lakeview Mothers Club, but before she could give an answer, she received an urgent telephone call from Barbara and hurried home. As she enters the living room, she hears Jack talking to his boss.
But, Mr. Collins, I told you all I know.
Then you don't deny the money is missing.
No, I'm not denying it.
Good evening, Mr. Collins.
Oh, well, I'm glad you've come, Miss Greenwood. I haven't been having very much success here with your nephew. Perhaps you can get him to talk.
Well, just what is he supposed to talk about?
Tonight, $50 was missing from the cash box at the office.
What do you know about it, Jack?
That I am responsible for it.
Yes, yes, we know that.
What else, Jack?
That it's gone and I didn't take it.
Well, if you didn't take it, why didn't you report the money was missing as soon as you found out?
Why didn't you, son?
I didn't want to start trouble if it wasn't necessary.
Oh, that's absurd.
I thought I could borrow $50 and put it in the cash box before anything was discovered. Money might have been misplaced. It could turn up in the morning.
Now, does that make sense to you, Miss Greenwood?
Well, it might make sense to Jack.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Miss Greenwood, I've given Jack every chance to clear himself, and he hasn't done it. I'm going to the police, and Jack's coming with me.
Mr. Collins, as a favor to me, wait until tomorrow morning before you take any action.
I don't see why I should.
Well, I'd like to have a talk to Jack alone and let him have a chance to talk to me.
Oh, well, all right, Miss Greenwood. I expect to hear from you the first thing in the morning.
You will.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Collins, and thank you. Jack, I know you didn't take the money.
Thanks, Aunt Charlotte. Of course I didn't.
But you're not telling all you know about it.
Yes, I am, Aunt Charlotte. I've told everything I know.
Everything? Then you're not telling everything you think about it.
Well, what I think has nothing to do with it.
Jack, you said this morning Alan Gregory had another smash-up in his car and was afraid to tell his father about it.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, where would Alan get the money to pay for his repairs and the damage to the other car?
Aunt Charlotte, how should I know?
Did Alan have access to the cash box at the office?
Why do you insist on suspecting Alan?
I know you're protecting somebody, and it's very logical it would be he. He's Janet's brother, and I know what you think about Janet.
Well, how do you think she'd feel if Alan did anything like that?
Then you do suspect Alan.
Yes.
Jack, I admire your wanting to protect Alan Gregory, but by shielding him from the consequences of this one act, you may be encouraging him to do others.
Aunt Charlotte, I can't help what Alan does after this, but if I can keep him out of trouble now, I'm going to.
Well, what are you going to tell the police in the morning?
Well, if necessary, I'll say I took the money.
Oh, Jack.
And if necessary, I know you'll let me do it.
Yes, Jack, I suppose I will, if it's necessary.
Father isn't home, Miss Greenwood, and I was just going out.
I didn't come to see your father.
Oh, Janet isn't home either.
Alan, I've come to see you.
Me? Well, I really haven't much time.
I'll only be a few minutes.
Oh, all right.
Mr. Collins was over to see Jack this evening.
He was?
Yes, there's $50 missing from the cash box at the office. And
you mean he suspects Jack?
Yes.
Why? I don't think Jack would do a thing like that.
He hasn't, but he's willing to let Mr. Collins think he has.
Well, why? Does he have to do that?
No, but he's responsible for the money.
Yeah, I guess he is.
You know he is.
Well, gee, I'm sure sorry, but well, I really have to go now.
Alan, on my way over here, I stopped off at the service station.
Service station?
Where your car is up for repairs.
How did you know about my car?
I asked Mr. Drake to hold off your bill until morning. He agreed.
Oh, he did? I mean,
does that make a difference?
What difference would that make?
Well, you're not under pressure to pay that bill tonight.
Well, that's what you've come for. To accuse me.
No, Alan. I've come to tell you that Jack is ready to stand good for the $50 that's missing, to take whatever consequences there are, if you want to let him do it. Is that the way you want it, Alan?
Oh, no, of course I don't want Jack to take the rap for me, but I'm in a jam. I don't know which way to turn.
Why don't you turn to your father?
My father? Oh, he's the last person in the world I'd turn to.
He's the first one you should.
Oh. Oh, if I could turn to him, I wouldn't be in this jam. Oh, I don't dare tell him I smashed up my car, so how can I tell him I took $50?
Alan, your real jam is with your father. Until you learn to face him, you won't be able to face any of your problems.
Oh, Miss Greenwood, a problem is something to be worked out. And you don't know my father. He won't even listen to anything that doesn't agree with what he thinks.
Alan, are you sure you understand your father?
No, I don't, and I never will.
Alan, you're wrong.
I know, I'm always wrong. I'm all wrong.
No, nobody is all wrong. I'm sure of that, except when I look in the mirror.
Oh, Miss Greenwood. Oh, what am I going to do?
Oh, speak to your father.
Oh, I can't. I can't. I'm licked before I start.
Alan, you've won many honors for your school at athletic contests, haven't you?
Yes.
And you've run quite a few hurdle races. And you know that to win, you've got to clear all the hurdles. And you've done it. Facing your father may seem an unsurmountable hurdle, but believe me, the reward is far more important than any you've ever won before.
Oh, I've tried to talk to my father lots of times, but it's no use.
Suppose we both try.
Both?
When it comes to jumping hurdles, son, I'll be way ahead of you. I've stepped over some dandies.
Oh, you mean you'll wait and help me talk to my father?
Well, of course I will.
Oh, gosh, Miss Greenwood, no wonder people throw all kinds of bouquets at you.
All kinds except bridal. Gregory, I'm rather a late visitor. Alan and I were chatting.
Well, that's nice. Oh, by the way, Alan, when I drove into the garage, I noticed your car wasn't there.
I know it. It's at the service station.
Service station? Have you wrecked that car again?
Have you?
Yes. I warned you that if you had another accident, I'd take your car away from you. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
I'm prepared for that.
Oh, you're prepared, are you? Well, get prepared for this. You'll pay for the damages. You got into this yourself, and you'll get out of it by yourself. I'm through.
Mr. Gregory, I didn't know a parent could up and resign.
Miss Greenwood, aren't you presuming a little?
Not a little, a great deal. But I'd rather you thought less of me and more of your son.
And how do you know how I feel about my son?
Well, he told me part of it, and your attitude tells the rest.
And just what have you got to do with this, Miss Greenwood?
I'll tell you. I stole $50 today, and I was going to let Jack Barton take the rap for me.
You what?
He needed the money to pay the repairs on his car. You just said so yourself.
Miss Greenwood, do you think he should steal under any circumstances? Are you condoning a thief?
Certainly not, but I'm trying to prevent a perfectly nice boy from becoming one, and that boy is your son, Mr. Gregory.
I've heard quite enough.
See, Miss Greenwood, it's no use.
Mr. Gregory, if you had a friend who had made some serious mistakes, and you knew that if he had another chance, he wouldn't do it again, what would you do?
Well, I'd give him another chance.
Then why don't you regard Alan as a friend and give him that chance?
Miss Greenwood, a son and a friend are entirely different relationships.
Well, maybe they shouldn't be.
I don't think you really understand.
About being a parent, Mr. Gregory?
Frankly, yes.
Well, I haven't been a parent in the accepted sense, but I've certainly been a child, way back in the dark ages, perhaps. But the memory of my mother is very vivid, clear, and deep. She was my friend as well as my mother. I loved her very dearly as my mother, but I loved her even more dearly as my friend.
Oh, Dad, I'm not blaming you for the things I've done, but if I could just talk to you, I feel... Well, maybe I do the right things from here on.
From here on?
From here on. It's a wonderful phrase. It's a wonderful idea. Alan still has the $50, so if you pay the repair bill for him, he can give the money back to Mr. Collins in the morning.
What will Mr. Collins think?
That Alan has a very wise father who gives very sound advice, and that Alan's just as smart as his father for taking that advice.
Miss Greenwood, you're a very persuasive woman.
No, Mr. Gregory, it's truth that's persuasive. Thank goodness. I must be going now.
Well, I'll see you home, Miss Greenwood.
Thank you, but that won't be necessary. I'd love to think I needed the protection, but Mr. Gregory... Leave us be frank. So you see, Jack, when you said that the money might turn up in the morning, you were right.
And Charlotte, speaking to Alan was the last thing I wanted you to do. But you know, I'm kind of glad that you did do it.
When the first thing you do is tackled... is tackle the last thing you want to do, you'll find out it's the only thing you have to do.
Well, the last thing I want to do right now is go to bed, but I think it better be the first thing.
All right, then go to bed.
Aunt Charlotte, may I ask you something?
Anything?
Can I kiss you?
I should say so.
Hey, what's going on here?
Why, Robert, I thought you were fast asleep.
I couldn't sleep, Aunt Charlotte. I kept thinking about you and the Mother's Club. Why don't you want to be president?
Well, I'm not really anybody's mother.
Aunt Charlotte, you don't actually have to have children to be a mother.
No.
Look at all you've done tonight. Could any mother do more?
Well, when you put it that way,
I... Oh, please, Aunt Charlotte.
All right, I'll phone Mrs. Barker in the morning if you think I qualify.
Oh, I'll say you qualify. If
You've certainly been a mother to us.
As well as a father.
And even our aunt.
You wouldn't want to be our uncle, too, would you?
Well, I might as well. It doesn't look like I'm ever going to get you one.
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. You see, it is quality that has maintained Hallmark leadership for more than 30 years. Because Hallmark quality tells your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Just go to your dealer and say,
I'd like to see the Hallmark card, please.
For always remember that
a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.
And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, the war has taught us many things that we'll apply in peace. It brought inventions we can use. The wars forever cease. But plus our new victorious power, plus all our new machines, it's taught us all how very much a card or letter means. Yes, we've all learned through years of war just why a soldier feels that mail calls more important than the bugle call to meals. We've learned that little notes of news, of greetings, cheer, and smile can whisk a fella's heart back home across 10,000 miles. So let's all keep that truth in mind now that the fighting's through. Let's not forget how very much a card or note can do. And let's remember what we've learned as all the warfare ends, that war defeats our enemies, but thoughtfulness keeps our friends.
Until next Sunday at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'll just say, so long.
So long.
Our Charlotte Greenwood show is written by Sylvia Thalberg and High Alexander. The Boston children, Barbara, Robert, and Jack were played by Bob Lyler, Bobby Larson, and Edward Ryan. This is Wendell Niles speaking. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood show came to you from Hollywood.